Reading from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, chapter 23, text 1, wandering about Navadvip on the day the Lord delivers the Chankazi. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Chaitanya Guna Nidhi Jaya Vishvambara Jai Bada Dira Vidhi. All glories to Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the ocean of transcendental qualities. All glories to Vishvambar, the controller of personalities like Lord Shiva. Om Gana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sa Padantikam Vancha kalpa turubhyascha kripa sindhu vayevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare. So greetings from New Jersey. Tomorrow I'll make a shift and venture myself up to upstate New York where I have a place and I'll see how I do. If I do okay, I'll stay there a little bit. If not, I'll come back. Okay, Chaitanya Bhagavat. Bhagavat means God. Chaitanya, who is God. And by Vrindavan Das Thakur, who is an incarnation of was an incarnation of Vedavyas. So there's been a pretty, this is the Madhya Leela. We know Madhya Leela is Chaitanya's life from 24 to 30. And this is kind of the very beginning of that. I guess he's still in Navadvip. At the beginning of the Madhya Leela, he's still in Navadvip, and then he takes sannyas. So we get to view him after his transformation through initiation. And real initiation is a transformation because it indicates a change of consciousness. Initiation has pancha samskaras. It has five reformatory acts. And the first one is tapa. And tapa means heat. Tapa means austerity. And tapa also means remorse. Because the greatest heat, the greatest austerity is remorse. Because it's painful to the thing we cherish most, which is our false ego. the conception that we are superior, the conception that we are the controller, the conception that we want to be. So the first thing in spiritual life is a regret. Even now, I look back, not just before initiation, I look back after initiation with regret. The age of 70 and thinking back, and those who are younger, you can take the lesson of the times where I acted unknowingly out of false ego and didn't enhance the relationships I should, or maybe spoiled some of the ones I had. But we can look back. But the real transformation is when you have that full commitment to the will of God. And that's a complete different identification than the false ego. And that type of transformation, that type of commitment, even though it's simple, it actually guarantees liberation. It guarantees you're free from all desires. The full unbroken commitment to serve our lineage, serve Guru and Krishna, which means to live my life by the Shastra, by truth rather than whim. So now we're seeing Lord Chaitanya in that consciousness, and a lot of it is just we're seeing him wandering around Navadvip. We'll see it also in this chapter too, Mukunda Madhava Yadava Hari, chanting the holy names and interacting with his devotees from that platform. Not only from the platform of God, because he is the Supreme Lord, but the platform of a perfected devotee who only acts in the consciousness that I am a servant of Krishna. And it's so powerful because it doesn't matter if you're a sannyasi, it doesn't matter if you're working, it doesn't matter if you have children, it doesn't matter what situation you're in. You just have to have, it doesn't matter if you chant 16, it doesn't matter if you chant 64. It just matters that you have that commitment and consciousness and identity. What is God's will? I will do, which is actually the very definition of what a gopi is, kinkari, what you want, I will do. So, and we saw Lord Chaitanya wandering, and the last two chapters in his lila, his acharya lila, his setting the example for us, because he's God as a devotee, so he's showing us how to be a devotee. But he's also the acharya, he's also the world teacher. And he's stressing certain things that can't be stressed enough. And that is, don't offend devotees, especially those that are fully committed in Krishna consciousness. And we saw that by the last chapter, the example, even his mother couldn't get mercy when she just understandably was upset with Advaitacharya for inspiring her eldest son to become sannyas and now inspiring her younger son to become renounced in the world. So naturally she's a mother, but Lord Chaitanya through that wanted to set the example. But of course he does many things at once, and he also wanted to set the example that Advaita is not Swayam Bhagavan, and he's come to serve Lord Chaitanya. Because again, you get the sense from reading this that it's not just what you're reading, it's what's happening outside at the time that Vrindavan Das Thakur has to address. He has to address through the Chaitanya Bhagavat and through the life of Lord Chaitanya. And that is a minimization of the position of Lord Nityananda. And in the last story, evidently there was a minimization of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya in terms of certain followers of Advaita as trying to establish Advaita Swayam Bhagavan and Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda as his subordinates. And in one sense, they were, because he was elder and he was the acharya, but not ultimately, and not even as it's shown in the story, in the mind of Advaita, that Advaita was a Vaishnava, a devotee, and that was his primary identification, besides his position in Tattva as a combination of Mahavishnu and Sadashiva. So now we'll follow Lord Chaitanya's wanderings, and sometimes I describe this as a transcendental Google map that can not only take us to a place, but could take us to a place hundreds and hundreds of years back. Kali Yuga. Well, I guess there's always been pandemics and tortures and Holocaust and so many things, but I am remembering when I came to Vrindavan initially, and I would go every day for 2 years. I would lead a kirtan party to the Jamuna, and we'd dive off those cliffs of rushing water, and it was unbelievable. Because just one bath would elevate you to the transcendental consciousness, where it's hard to do that in just a second in any other way. So we can imagine how beautiful it was, and clean and organic. But anyway, Vrindavan Das Thakur naturally begins with glorification of Lord Chaitanya. Prayer puts one in the humble position, not forcefully, but out of love. And it's only in the humble position that one has a perspective to the absolute truth. So if you want to write transcendental literature, you have to be quite advanced. Prabhupada even said that. He said he could make gurus, but to write transcendental literature, he wasn't sure. So, Jaya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvijaraj Jaya Jaya Chaitanyara Bhakta Samaj. All glories to the beloved of Lord Nityananda and to the best of the Brahmins. All glories to the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. So God has many features. There's Panchatattva. Panchatattvatmakam Krishna Bhaktarupa Sarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhaktisha. So the devotees are aspects. And in that humble consciousness, you don't only glorify the Lord, put yourself in a position of servant and the perspective so you can understand them, but also in relationship to the devotees. And that's a very interesting perspective of seeing the absolute truth. Distance brings you closer. I can explain it. I made this analogy myself in terms of Guru Tattva. It's just like an object and there's eyes, but you can see more clearly when there is something in between, which are your glasses, which have a prescription lens. So the guru and devotees are our prescription lenses. So we can see God better when we serve and we glorify them. In this way, Lord Vishvambhar enjoyed pastimes in Navadvip, that could not be seen by everyone. Even now, our eyes are not sufficient for perception. Look at the polarization in America. Some people see someone as evil, another group of people see them as the savior. And it's like that with everything. So our attitudes, our knowledge very much affects our position, especially our attitude. And especially when you talk about understanding a person deeply, a person can only, I made this point, I just had this revelation. Why only by bhakti can you understand God? Because a person is his love. Who you are is a mother or a child or a friend or a lover or a student or a teacher. Who you are is that aspect of love that you reveal. And that's only shown in a relationship of love. So we can't perceive a person just by analysis and just by the senses. Attitude is required. And without the right attitude, you cannot perceive any person. Truly and deeply. So, Lord Chaitanya couldn't be perceived by everyone. Day after day, the abode of Navadvip became filled with ecstasy because of the presence of Vishvambhar, the Lord of Vaikuntha. We can't underestimate the effect on a place when there is the presence of God and his devotee. It brings out the most treasured and blissful part of ourselves, which is our devotion, which is our hearts. Ecstasy doesn't come from the mind. Ecstasy comes from the heart. Ultimately, when we say the heart, it comes from the soul. Ecstasy is service, and not just service, but loving service, bhakti, devotional service. Therefore, Prabhupada in the Gita makes the point. He makes the point that, I read this somewhere, I repeated that, when you become a devotee, you become thrilled every moment, because that energy of love between you and God, which is the ultimate pleasure, is revealed. It naturally comes out in those kind of relationships. So we can't imagine the effect of seeing Lord Chaitanya, those who did see him, serving him. What to speak in participating in his kirtan. Because what is kirtan? Kirtan is when the bhava in the heart is expressed by the discipline of music. So kirtan is the bhava. And if Lord Chaitanya is there and the devotees are there and it's pure kirtan, then that vibration is the hearts of the devotees, which is prema, which is love. And by hearing that, you can experience that. So this is what's happening. I'm looking out in the street before me and just imagining what if 200 Bengali Vaishnavas of Lord Chaitanya started coming down the street with kirtan. And I opened my ears to that sound, just as when the Bengali Vaishnavas first came to Puri and King Prataparudra was observing it from his rooftop and then made the comment, I've never seen anything like this. He wasn't talking about the talent. He was talking about the bhav. It actually distinguishes it. I'm speaking to a lot of people who are seeing a lot of good in the quarantine. I wouldn't say the pandemic, but the quarantine. They're actually seeing a lot of good. So many people tell me how good it has been for their family and their relationships. Okay, a little brain fog. Because I eat breakfast before the class, so I'm just going to go on. Accompanied by his beloved pastimes, the Lord engaged in pastimes of relishing his own names in the association of devotees. So he's chanting the names of God, but he is God, but he's in the mood of a devotee. So the term is given is so beautiful. It's Nija Nam Ras. His own Ras of the name. And what does Nam Ras mean? That we have a relationship with the name. The name is none different than Krishna. And that if we chant it with the right attention and right attitude, consistently, there will be some kind of flavor of relationship between us and the name. Nam Ras. So he's relishing that relationship with the holy name of Krishna, which is Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija. Again, Nija Sarvasha has all Shaktis. The name has all Shaktis, all potencies. So Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So they're just relishing the Nam Ras. Now there's going to be a little story with a very instructive. It's actually one story that, in one sense, is one of the stories in the Chaitanya Leela that strikes you the most. So we'll hear about this story. The Lord performed kirtan every night. No one except the devotees could participate. Every night for 12 hours, they would do kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya was very particular who they invited. Because this type of kirtan, one is intimately opening up their hearts because their bhava is being expressed. And therefore, because it's so confidential, you can only open your heart in that way with others who love you and understand you. Everyone here that's listening to this class has something very, very confidential that they can't express. And what happens is, if there is someone who is not confidential, who is not understanding, then one becomes inhibited in expressing himself. And also the fact is, this concept of ultimate pleasure is called rasa. And rasa means when love is at its height. So you can experience that through the emotions of others, actually. I'm just talk a little bit now just to help. I think it's important before I continue this pastime. Classical rasa theory meant that there were of drama is that there were certain overwhelming emotions like tragedy, romance, chivalry, etc. And what drama does, it's the art of recreating those emotions that an artist is experiencing or wants to convey in a way that the audience has that same feeling. If there's a tragedy, then the drama will make you feel it. And that's the purpose of drama. If there's a romance, whatever, you'll feel it. But for it to reach its height in the audience has to have the feeling of one mind. The communication has to be so profound, and the qualification of the audience, with the audience having the proper qualification, that you experience it as one mind. And I can tell you myself, if any of you have that desire to speak or share Krishna consciousness or communicate it, I could tell you that unless you're convinced and feel the audience is one mind, it's very hard to be inspired. If you feel there's someone in the audience that has a different mood, a different understanding, it's very, very difficult to communicate. And I think more than anything else, a successful speaker has to somehow create that one mind in the audience by understanding the frame of reference that they understand things and presenting it in that way. But the feeling of the audience won't mature unless everyone, and this is rasa theory, unless everyone has the same qualification, it's one mind, and it creates this transcendent experience. So that same thing is there within very, very confidential kirtan. I remember that story that someone told me about Jamuna, where she used to have intimate kirtans with very close people in a particular mood. And that was her mood. And she didn't like to do big public things. And one day someone just came into her apartment when they were doing kirtan. And she said, can I come in? And she said, no. And then the devotees thought, wow, she's being so, why is she being so harsh? But it was for that reason. She could see the person had a certain ego that just didn't fit. and that she wouldn't be able to sit there herself and express her heart. If you went to those kirtans with Jamuna, I'm fortunate to come to a few of them, you know, she wouldn't lead, she would just relish. And she would relish in a very, very deep way. And you could see that her heart was on her sleeve. It doesn't happen if there are people that don't have an understanding of what is happening or have an egotistic view of it. It's just general psychology. So they're making the point, he taught the process of worship through kirtan. Outsiders were not allowed. The glories of Vishvambar prowess was so great that no one in the three worlds knew their limit. Yeah, because in the three worlds mean under the modes of nature, you can't understand beyond that. You can't understand Krishna through the modes of material nature, through regular analytic knowledge. There has to be a process of faith that connects you there. And that faith is not just this trust, but it's actually the experience of it that actually communicates the reality of it. I think everyone here is a devotee of Krishna more than anything else because you understood something of transcendence by the mercy of devotees, which touched your heart and gave you an experience. And that experience doesn't happen just intellectually. So this is something special. Ordinary, hidden in the distance, 5 or 10 people gathered together and spoke bad words that would take them to hell. How unfortunate to be antagonistic to the devotees because you have some kind of narrow or prejudicial lens. So that's what he's saying, and that this is always a problem, that the devotees have a transcendent view of reality. They have to be very careful to practically express it. And to promote the proper religious principles within this world. But some people will definitely misunderstand it. Wow. This world of polarity, people look at the world through different ideological lenses. People are not educated. So this is nothing new. A lot of people traditionally get it wrong. We get it wrong. A strong mind is a mind that likes the right things and doesn't like the wrong things. Our minds are not like that. We like too many of the wrong things and we don't like too many of the right things. And that's what purification is. That's when you practice Krishna consciousness. That's when you read books and knowledge and apply it, you change your mind. But for some people, they don't even adopt a particular process like that. And they see the mind through their perverted desires and their samskaras. What are samskaras? It's things that you've done again and again and again and again and get attachments to them. People have attachments to the wrong thing. And they develop prejudice. So there were people like that. And Lord Chaitanya definitely didn't want them in the kirtan when he was going to put his heart on his sleeve. In confidence that the people that were there who were devotees would understand that and would be uninhibited in doing the same. I mean, just think if you're with some very people who you felt were advanced and confidential, and you were discussing things, etc. And then someone walked in who was inimical. How would the conversation change? What would come out of people's hearts? What to speak of inimical, a person with just a different view? There's swapaksha and there's vipaksha. Swapaksha means of the same group. Vipaksha means of a different group. And we see Prabhupada wanted a world, you know, a house in which the whole world could live. And we can see that within the commonality of we are disciples of Prabhupada, there are people that are vipaksha. They're completely against your particular view, and you're against their particular view. So the world is like that. What to speak when people don't have a spiritual view, how they can see things so differently. Someone said, what kind of Vaishnav can there be in Kali Yuga? Those Vaishnavas are simply engaged in filling their stomachs. So, sometimes people, and here, you know, Vaishnav is a little bit referring to there's a concept of Vaishnav, and it's true, actually, in Govardhan, there are people that live by just walking around Govardhan Hill. Walking around Govardhan Hill and going to the houses of Brahmins and saying, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. And they cook. I had one friend in a place, Govindakund. He would invite me. And every day for generations and generations, his family would cook, you know, 100, 200 rotis. And sadhus who'd walk around the hill, they'd give them, and sometimes they'd make a little, they have a piece of gore, jaggery. Sometimes they give a little piece of cutty, and they go around the hill. And after they walk around the hill, then they eat, and that's it. Actually, there's groups, because I'm a little familiar with the culture, there's people that go around the hill twice. And one time I was trying to get my friend to make a film on Govardhan, and we stayed there when the sadhus were coming around. And there was one sadhu, I think this guy walked around three times. I think his whole life was walking around. And we tried to interview him and the purity. When you really have purity, you're not doing things for yourself. It's so hard to get that tinge of ego out of our devotion. You really do not want profit, adoration, or distinction. I actually once wrote one Monday morning greeting about that, where I was invited to the groundbreaking ceremony of the Govardhan Echo Retreat that Bhurijan Prabhu and Sachinandana are making, which is really a phenomenal thing because it's actually a retreat. It's beautiful. It's about 5-10 acres on the side of Govardhan Hill. The beauty of it is it comes up by prayers to Govardhan. There's no fundraising. Fundraising is almost not allowed, I could tell you that. It's just by the prayers to Govardhan. But anyway, we had the groundbreaking a few years ago, and I spoke and I said some things. But at the end, after I spoke about it, I said, I have one lamentation. You know, Bhurijan Prabhu is already like 70 years old or like 68. Now I think he's 72, 73. By the time it's finished, he won't be around to enjoy it. And then afterwards, he spoke to me and he said, you know, you said some very nice things, but one thing you said is wrong. I said, what is that? That, you know, I won't be around to enjoy it. He said, I don't care to be around to enjoy it. And then he went and said, it's just an offering. And he pointed to Govardhan Hill. It's just an offering. And that really struck me. You know, really what a Vaishnav is. You know, they actually don't care. The whole world is moving on self-aggrandizement. And a Vaishnav doesn't actually care. He only cares for the pleasure of Krishna. Like, just like when Jayananda was around, Prabhupada's great devotee, and everyone would come to see Prabhupada. He said, where's Jayananda? He was just serving. Anyway, I was talking about Govardhan Hill, and people go around and they just depend on Krishna. And anyway, there's a criticism. It's just like the Hare Krishna movement in the early days. Why don't you guys get a job? Why don't you get a job? Just preaching Krishna consciousness, just this. So somehow that kind of criticism was lingering. Someone else said, if I can tie their hands and legs and throw them in the water, my unhappiness will be mitigated. So they become, then becomes antagonistic. Sometimes it's very, very threatening when people hold a view and live a view successfully that challenges your own worldview. You have a conception, life is about this, it's materialistic life, it's about this, and then someone is like, no, this is the way you live. So there's a threat. People on the platform of false ego is about their superiority, and they don't like it challenged. Someone said, oh, brother, know for certain that Nimai Pandit would ruin the entire village. They would threaten the devotees so that they could see the kirtan, but because they were unfortunate, what could their cunning accomplish? They also wanted to see the kirtan, not to serve the kirtan, but they just wanted to see the kirtan. Sounds like a party. They wanted to get in on it. But Lord Chaitanya was so strict. This is confidential. And we may have some friends that we could speak some confidential things. Then another person enters in who can't understand, or we don't trust to share. And then the conversation kind of, you know, quiets up and you become frustrated. You know, sometimes we want to reveal our heart to someone else. And that person comes to see you, but he brings someone else who's not of that confidence. It's so frustrating. And Lord Chaitanya wants to reveal his heart out of the highest sentiments of devotional ecstasy. This is his mission, to taste this. And he wants this rasa. And he's congregating his devotees who are confidential so this can be expressed, which cannot be understood, as said before, with ordinary human knowledge or through the modes of material nature. There has to be some faith that connects you to that reality so that you can understand that reality. As the son of Sachi performed Sankirtan, the consciousness of everyone in the world was purified. So it has such a powerful effect, the chanting of the holy name, where kirtan goes on. So even though he was restricting it from people, the benefit was felt widely. Ordinary people lamented because they could not see the kirtan. They sighed deeply and considered themselves unfortunate. Some people requested devotees to let them inside so that they could secretly watch the kirtan. All the Lord's servants understood that the Lord knew everything. So in fear of his reaction, they would not take anyone inside. Now, here is the story. But there was one particular brahmachari who lived in Navadvip, Tapasvi Paramasadhu Visaya Nirdosh. He had no fault. Paramasadhu. He was so saintly. And Tapasvi, he was austere. He only drank milk and he did not take any rice. And this Brahmin wanted to see the kirtan. But because the Lord performed behind closed doors, no one could, other than the devotees, could enter. This Brahmin daily requested Srivas to allow him to see the Lord's dancing. So he is powerful. He's very austere. He had Shakti, this person. Paramasadhu, Tapasvi, Vishaya Nirdosh, no bad qualities. And he just, let me just see the kirtan. Just, I really want to see the kirtan. And it was wearing on Srivas. If you bestow mercy on me and take me one day inside your house, I will be able to see Nimai Pandit dancing. Then my eyes will be successful and I'll be very grateful for you. In this way, the Brahmin daily appealed to Srivas, who one day replied, you know, I know you've always been a very good person. Through your life, you observe strict celibacy and eaten only fruits. Your body is free from sin, so you are certainly qualified to see the kirtan. But I tell you, the Lord has instructed us not to take anyone inside, so you have to remain hidden. Be very careful about that. And then Srivas took the person inside and kind of hit him in a corner. And then Lord Chaitanya, in the midst of his associates, the Lord of the 14 worlds, he began to dance. You know, and Krishna is Bharatidam Natavara. Krishna is the most expert dancer, even the apsaras, who are the heavenly dancers. These are the greatest dancers in the world. When Krishna dances, they won't dance. Krishna's dancing is unparalleled. And he's expressing it. And his emotions now have come into his body. So, you know, it's legitimate. It's very sincere. But what are the different ways that people could see this? A jnani could come in and say, oh, look how sentimental Lord Chaitanya is. He's crying and he's dancing and he's supposed to be a sannyasi. And then another person could come in, another type of devotee, and say, this is sahajya. This is sahajya. I remember one time, Iendra Prabhu came into my room crying. I remember this. It was so. And he said, I want to understand my relationship with Krishna. And he was crying. I want to understand my relationship with Krishna. And then, anyway, what did I know? Then I said, well, don't you think this is a bit sahajya? Sahajya means imitative and cheap. You know, Prabhupada is very cautious about, you know, not taking these higher things cheaply. And the next day, Andrew gave class. And the whole class, he had furrowed his eyebrows and he looked forward and he was staring at me and talking about small-minded people. So maybe someone like that came in and would say to Lord Chaitanya, well, I think there's a little bit Hajia. They all jubilantly sang together, so we should get this image of now why Lord Chaitanya doesn't want the people in. They are dancing in such graceful way, but it's born from Bob. It can't be analyzed through the material modes of nature. It's born of Bob. And how are you going to understand that if you don't have that feeling? You're just going to think it's utter sentiment for religious, spiritual, renounced people. And they started singing Krishna, Rama, Mukunda, Murari, Vanamali, the names. It's just, they're in ecstasy. And there are people that are crying. And there are people that are shaking. And in that kind of consciousness, you're so absorbed that you're not even cognizant of what's outside the hearing of the name. So how is someone going to analyze that? And would you be able to express that if they are viewing it through their material lens? I know for myself, the worst hell is when I am misunderstood. Especially, you know, when I give class, I really work at it. I think this is my motive. I do not want to be misunderstood. I know sometime, you know, I would preach in the yoga world and I was quite successful of honing in on people's frame of reference and being able to express things according to their understanding. But occasionally Krishna would purify me and I just didn't come off. It came off as dogmatic or sentimental and I wouldn't be able to sleep. That dynamic moment where Krishna sends me some conditioned souls and I have an opportunity and I blow it. So to be misunderstood, Nityananda and Gadadhar held each other and they twirled around. This is why. Now they're Gadadhar and Nityananda are holding hands and they're twirling around. And then Advaita, the lion-like Acharya, is just running here and there in ecstasy. As we'll say in American sports jargon, which half of you won't have any idea what I'm talking about, and the crowd went wild. The Lord of Vaikuntha personally danced. Everyone lost external consciousness in transcendental ecstasy. Nothing could be heard other than, "Hee-ho! Hee-ho!" Oh, brothers, chant the holy name. Who can describe Vishwambhar's transformation of ecstatic love, like shedding tears, shivering, hairs standing on end, and loud roaring? But it's coming from Bob, but how will you understand this? Sometimes when we're reading the Chaitanya Bhagavad here, we have to be very careful because it may not fit in our lens what the activities of Nityananda are like. So in one sense, we are also being allowed in confidentially. Even in this particular class, it is not open for people from the outside. And if all of a sudden, because I do look, you know, see which of my friends here are participating. If I saw someone who wasn't a devotee, I could not speak a word. Because what I'm saying right now is confidential. It's confidential to this group who are followers of Prabhupada and have a certain frame of reference and understood things. While Lord Chaitanya is doing this, he understands. He's the crest jewel of omniscient persons, that a Brahmin was hiding there. Lord Vishwambhar repeatedly stopped dancing and said, "Why am I not feeling ecstasy today? I will tell the people that are here, I'm probably going to go 5 minutes over. It's very uncharacteristic to me, but it is to finish the story. Feel free. People have schedules. If you have to go, I just thank that you, it's 8:57. It's not going to end at 9. I'm just thankful that you were able to come. Those of you that can stay, because we'll just read out the rest of the story. I cannot understand. It seems someone is inside the house. Oh, Lord, in fear, Srivas replied, "Oh, Lord, no atheists have come inside." A pious Brahmin who leads a sinful life, sinless life, and only drinks milk, he had a strong desire to see her dancing. You have rightly surmised, O Lord, he is hiding inside the house. On hearing this, Vishwambar angrily said, quickly take him out of the house. What qualification does he have to see my dancing? Can one attain devotion to me by drinking milk? The Lord raised his two hands, palms, and extended his index finger while saying, no one can attain me simply by drinking milk. Know for certain that even a Chandala surrenders to me. He is mine, I am his. This is the key to Krishna consciousness. It's not a material qualification. It's a question of heart. Doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you do. How intelligent you are, what your level of austerity is, what's your wealth, what's your caste, what's your coolness. It doesn't matter. If you can say, oh Krishna, from this day I am yours, you enter into the transcendental pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And if you can't, it doesn't matter what you have. And this is the real essence of Krishna consciousness that's not there in other processes, because jnana and karma have material qualification. Bhakti is real religion, and it's something that's extraordinarily special. It's something that is rarely given, and somehow or other, how merciful is Prabhupada that he actually gave this to us? It's very inconceivable. Surrender. Live your life only by the truth. Whoever you are, whatever your duties are, whatever your station in life is, you don't have to renounce the world. Just be simple and honest. The two qualifications for prema bhakti, simple and honest. If even a sannyasi does not surrender to me, he is not mine. This is the truth I am telling you. Tell me, what kind of austerities did the Gajendra, the monkeys, and the cowherds perform to attain me? Even the demons perform austerities. But what is the result? Unless they take shelter of me, they cannot be delivered. The Lord continued, one cannot attain me only by drinking milk. You will see right here how I smash him to pieces. As the brahmachari left in great fear, that Sova Brahman thought to himself, I'm indeed fortunate to have seen something. I've also received the appropriate punishment for my offense. I saw that wonderful dancing and wonderful kirtan, and I was punished according to my offense. Only the servant of the Lord develops such a mentality and is able to tolerate the Lord's chastisement. As that exalted Brahman departed, while thinking in this way, Lord Vishwambar, the super soul, understood his heart. The Lord, who is an ocean of mercy, called the Brahmin back and placed his lotus feet on his head. The Lord then told him that he shouldn't be proud of his austerity, and he should know for certain that devotional service to the Supreme Lord is supreme. That exalted Brahmin cried in ecstasy as he continually remembered the merciful qualities of the Lord. All the devotees then jubilantly chanted the name Hari and immediately offered obeisances to the devotee. After bestowing mercy on the brahmachari, the Lord profusely danced in ecstasy. I offer my obeisance at the feet of that Brahmin whose intelligence was purified by Lord Chaitanya's chastisement. So it wasn't the austerities. It wasn't his celibacy. It wasn't his external saintly qualities. It was when he was humble. When he was humble and understood. When he performed the real tapa, the remorse that I'm separate from God and I feel bad about it. And therefore I'm happy that God is burning my false ego. I'm happy about that. Because that's what's blocking me from experiencing God. Okay, we finish near that. If just a couple people can share their realizations, something that stuck with them, and then a few people say hello, and then we'll, if you're back at 11 o'clock, we can have another class. Yes?
Maharaj, Hare Krishna.
Gail?
I just had, this is really insane, but I gasped for breath when you that your worst hell is to be misunderstood. I couldn't believe you said that. I actually gasped for breath when you said that.
Because that's your worst hell?
Yes, I just couldn't believe you said that. I gasped for breath.
Okay.
Amazing.
Okay, well, thank you, Gail.
I mean, this is realization time, but if there's time after, I do have a couple of burning ones.
Okay, we'll see.
Okay.
It's getting late.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Isandreshwari here. Thank you for so many amazing points. I have one question, because you spoke about this confidential mood which Lord Chaitanya had and the intimacy of the kirtan, and that he was really really kind of confidential with allowing people to come in. But on another hand, we know that he was so merciful and wildly spreading the love of God to everybody without discrimination. So how to understand that contradiction?
Yeah, because there's your inner bhajan, and then our mission has two parts, to taste and distribute. So when you're tasting it, and it could be at a various level of realization and relationship, it's confidential. When you're distributing it, it's not confidential. It's odarya. It's not the madhurya. It's the compassion. I'm doya. I'm trying to help others. But there's also part for your own internal development, and that may include some understanding of your relationship with Krishna. That's confidential. Okay. Mm. Thank you, Rajeshwari.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, anybody else?
Hi, Maya Roger, Jan.
Hey, Jan, nice to see you.
You know, I often think about how all the cowherd boys are so attentive and only focused on Krishna, and how disruptive it would be if one of them said, hey, we're so attracted to this boy. It's just, it would break the mood completely. So,
if one of them said what?
Why are we so attractive to this boy? It doesn't make any sense. We'll have to be with everybody.
Thank you. Brahmatirtha, Haribol.
Hare Krishna. I really like the point on this confidentiality, because sometimes devotees, myself very much included, get that mixed up. And Rupa Goswami talks about revealing the mind in confidence. And the question comes, how do you do that? And so you touched upon that with the story very well, because there's a danger in revealing the mind not in confidence, as we all have suffered through. So I like your explanation as a exegesis of Rupa Goswami's discussion.
Say just something more. They give us guidelines. What are the parameters of revealing one's mind?
Well, let me see.
Maybe it's too much.
Yeah. Well, just thinking for a moment. We have to reveal our minds to people we trust. It comes down to the issue of
right.
And feel my mind don't trust. They're gonna, as you pointed out, misunderstand me. And then from that, anything could happen. Even the worst of everything, gossip could come from it. Like if I reveal to someone, I chanted this round of japa, and for a moment, I actually connected with the name. I mean, that's nothing I would say to a person in the street. I would say it to you. Boy, for a rare moment, I had that deep connection. But if I just said it to somebody random, next thing they can do, because I don't trust them, they say, Ramatirtha, he's actually a Sahajiya. I mean, this is a silly example. These things have happened to all of us, at least if we've been around long enough. So revealing to someone we trust our inner thoughts is very important, which requires that one of the most important principles for me personally, and something Prabhupada said to me, is for advancing in consciousness, is to really make friends among devotees. So there is someone we can reveal our mind to in confidence, and they can reveal our mind to us, knowing that it's completely trusted. I mean, I have friends who can tell me anything, and they know I won't judge them, and vice versa. We can't just reveal our mind in confidence without having cultivated friendships.
Yeah, I would say one thing is that when you give your heart to someone, they can do one of two things better than anybody else. They can serve you or destroy you. So who you give that heart to, like if you have a fault and you tell someone, right, that this is my weakness, this is what I did, right, then they can serve you by helping you and correcting your behavior and, just letting you feel good that you kind of shared something and give you advice, or they can go on the internet and ruin your life. So who are you going to give your heart to? So I think what you said is it's essential to have deep, close people that over the years we've developed trust with, so that our confidential thoughts can actually be served and helped. Anyway.
Thank you.
This is your field, but thank you. Haribo. Anybody else like to say hello? Thank you so much, Ramatirtha.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
It's so great to hear you after Ramatirtha,
And then love hearing all of you.
No, because it's kind of like a confidential, after he talked about confidential people, it's like the confidential group says hello. So that's kind of nice. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, anybody else like to say hello today?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Wait, is that you, Henry?
Yes, Maharaj, that was a wonderful class,
Another one of the confidential group.
No, I was thinking when you were talking about, wanting to say the right thing to somebody at the right time and in a class. And, one time I had an opportunity where somebody was asking me some questions about, started with my neck beads and this is a person I'd known all their life, and they were really open up and asking questions, and I was just praying inside that I would figure out the right thing to say, And then when they asked me about my japa beads, they said, what is the purpose of chanting the japa? And I stole a line from you. I said, it makes me less selfish. And that was it. I could see that went right into the heart of the person and just like had an amazing effect.
Wow, that's great. So nice to see you, Henry. I want to touch base with you this week sometime after I'm settled. Okay, thank you. Wow. Anybody else want to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh, Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, very good. Good.
Thank you for the class, Maharaj. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Wow. Nityangi, Surya Radhika. Great. Okay. Haribo. Haribo.
Haribo.
You know how much I love to come to your country, even if it's by Zoom.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that? Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Narma Saki.
Oh, Haribo.
Haribo. Thank you. Thank you for this.
Namaskar, Haribo. Wow. Great.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Thank you for a wonderful class.
Sebastian and Hemalata.
Haribo.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Simple and honest.
Yes, that was the point.
That's the goal. Simple and honest.
I know. That's you.
Oh, thank you. No, Maharaj. Not too much to work on.
Okay. Okay, great.
Thanks for class.
Yeah, good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, good. Nice to see an American here. I'll see you, hopefully. Let me know the time, okay?
Okay.
Okay, great. Those people were from the Middle East and then from Argentina. Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna.
Mukunda.
Hey, Mukunda, good. Raja Devi, Haribo.
Hare Krishna Gurudev.
Great to hear from you, good.
Thank you so much.
Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Lalgavinda.
Hare Krishna. You may miss a bit of the 11 o'clock class, maybe.
We'll be listening to it on the way over.
Okay. Okay. Good. Okay. Hare Bo.
Hare Bo.
Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for the beautiful class.
Hare Bo. Who is this?
This is Tiffany.
Tiffany. Hare Bo. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. A few more people.
Hi, Krishna Gamaraj. This is Kishori Radha.
And Tota Gopinath.
Tota, we have to somehow either speak in the afternoon or kind of coordinate our schedule, how we...
Okay, no problem.
Okay, so maybe after lunch sometime, give me a call. Okay?
Okay, Haribo.
Okay, Haribo. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Shri Gandharika.
Hi, Haribo. Good to hear from you. Thank you so much. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Don Cayley.
Don Cayley, I'll be seeing you soon.
Yes, tomorrow, hopefully.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, I love your kirtans. You did a little kirtan in the middle of class, and I wish that you could do more of it. They stick with me throughout the day. It's just something about the melody and the way you sing. So thank you.
Well, come over and visit me upstate. We'll do a little kirtan.
Okay.
We'll do a little kirtan.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, I'm going to...
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for your class.
Okay, nice to see you. Thank you.
Yeah, nice to see you. And your statement that the real transformation is full commitment to the will of God was so interesting for me. And thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Okay, I will go now and come back at 11 o'clock if people, any of you would like to still come to the class, then at that time, I'll speak again.